If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. We thank the Lord for each one that's come this way today. Several are visiting with us today, and we appreciate so very much your presence with us here at Bible Way, and we pray the Lord will make his presence known to each one that's come this way. We've been preaching. We started last Sunday morning on the subject, Abraham Believed God. We looked at a subject a week or two ago where a centurion in the New Testament there cried out, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." We preached a message entitled, "Finding Help with Our Unbelief." And the Lord put it in my heart to go back and look at this man. The Bible said Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I will say this morning, the only way that you and I will ever make it to heaven is to have put on our account the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're born again, saved by the grace of God, he takes away our sin and he gives us his righteousness. And now when he sees us as worthy because he sees us through the blood of the Lamb. I know that all through the Bible, this theme has been taught, but this morning I want to look at Genesis chapter 22, and if you'll read with me beginning in verse 1, if you're able, in reverence to God's Word, stand with me this morning, please. The Bible said in verse 1 of Genesis 22, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac and his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and he said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." If correctly read, that's verses 1 through 12, Genesis 22. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Lord, I pray this morning that these truths would come alive to us as we examine this portion of Scripture this day. Lord, I do know that there are many that would love to be here today but are providentially hindered through sickness and illness. Some, Lord, traveling, I just pray, God, you'd bless each one, Lord, that couldn't be here and desire to be here, and those that are here, bless us this day, Lord. Not that we're worthy of a blessing, but God, we need you to bless us. We need a touch, our Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many of you in this congregation wear bifocals of some sort or another? The rest of them can forget about this, but if you all are not praying for me and I find it out, I'm going to throw a rock at you. Amen. I do not preach with a shotgun, and I was taught at a very early age that in order to hit a moving target, you don't carry a rifle, you carry a shotgun. Amen. And every time I look down at this Bible, it looks like a moving target, Brother Grizzle. Amen. So you all pray for me as I try to adjust to these glasses, please. I want to, excuse me, I want to continue this thought. Abraham believed God, maybe finish the thought up this morning. We looked at several things last weekend. We saw that Abraham believed God, and it was portrayed in his willingness to leave, in his leaving. It was portrayed in his leaning. He leaned on the Lord everywhere he went. He built an altar, except for Egypt. You remember that? And then it was portrayed, Abraham believed God in his looking. Lot looked towards Sodom. He looked at a well-watered plain. And Abraham left his choice up to God. And the choice, one was based on sight, the other was based on faith. And we know how that turned out. Abraham in the Bible is called a friend of God. Today, what I want to look at is Abraham believed God and when it came to loving. The Bible said here, take thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. I want to share some things with you today. I praise God that he's got a Bible that still speaks to our hearts. It's relevant in every generation, and I thank the Lord for it. I want you to look at some things with me today. There's three things here that I want to concentrate on this morning for just a few minutes. Number one, in Abraham's loving, Abraham loved God. I believe that's the most important thing in a person's life. If you love God, I believe everything else just falls in line. Amen. I believe a man that loves God does not have any problem loving his wife, loving his children, loving his church, loving sinners. Amen. Even loving his enemy. How many believes if you love God that you can actually love your enemy and pray for them? Amen. As the Bible instructs us to. In verse number one, I believe this proves out in Abraham's life. It says, and it came to pass after these things. You say, preacher, how do you know that Abraham loved God? Look back at verse 22. I want you to look at this timing here. After these things, what's it talking about? What was before verse number 1 in chapter number 22? If you look back at verse 22 in the previous chapter, in chapter 21, the Bible said it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. I don't believe there's any way that the world could recognize that God is with us unless we love him. And if we love him with all of our heart, all of our mind and all of our body and all of our soul, I believe somebody down at the job, somebody, a neighbor, somebody, beloved, listen, that knows and watches your life will say there's an individual. God is with them in all that they do. Later in the book of Genesis, I'll just touch on this. You find a man by the name of Joseph. And over it said, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. It didn't make any difference if Joseph was in a pit or if he was in a palace or if he was in a prison. It didn't matter where he was. It was evident that the hand of God. If there's anything this morning that we should desire as the people of God, no other reason to believe God than it would be just to have God's hand upon us to the point that someone else in this dark world that we live in would want what we have in our heart. And in our life, would want that peace. I thought about this, and this may be a little bit silly, but years ago there was a show on TV, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? How many's ever seen that or heard of it at least? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Well, My question this morning is not who wants to be a millionaire, but who wants to be a friend of God? The Bible said that Abraham was a friend of God. And beloved, it's impossible to be a friend of God unless we love God. And the Bible said that God did tempt Abraham. Beloved, if you'll read the book of James, it tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. This is not talking about a temptation or solicitation to do evil, but it's talking about a test. And beloved, if you love God, let me just say this. There are some that would not agree with this, but they have a right to be wrong. If you love God, your faith somewhere along the line will be tested. Your love for God will be tested. And beloved, I believe that even in relationships. You don't know what you really have in a relationship until that relationship is tested somewhere along the way. And so Abraham has a God that loves him. He loves God, and God is going to test him. He is going to test his faith. Let me just say this to you this morning. How many believes that God is omniscient? That means all-knowing. How many believes that? I believe that, and I believe that's why that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God didn't say, oops, what are we going to do now? No, the Bible said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, God knew, beloved, listen, what was going to happen in the lives of Adam and Eve in the garden. God made preparation. And I just want to say this to you right here, beloved. Listen, I don't believe this test is going on for God's benefit so God can find out. I believe it's going on for Abraham's benefit. And let me just say this. God put this in my heart this week. Also for Isaac's benefit. Think about that, beloved. You believe that young man was ever the same? He's probably somewhere between 17 and 30 years old. He's called a lad. He's not a little boy. He's carrying the wood. Amen. He understands the principles of sacrifice. He's got the wood, and it's got to be a substantial amount in order to burn the sacrifice. He's carrying it up there. Do you think that young man was ever the same after being bound and put on an altar and seeing the knife lifted up and the angel of the Lord stay in his hand? I don't believe he was ever the same. It changed his life. He was saying, I believe, when he came off of that altar, there's that ram caught in the thicket. They take the ram and slay the lamb. I believe he's saying, my daddy trusted God, and I can trust him too. My daddy believed God, and I can believe him too. Beloved, Abraham loved God. And I see this here also in a surrender. Watch this in the last four words. Behold, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. I'll tell you something this morning. The child of God will never know the fullness of God's blessings until they say, Lord, here I am. Amen. If you're like me, you might say something like this, Brother Thurman, I ain't much. But whatever I am, God, it belongs to you. Here I am. Here I am. I believe this morning when we say that, we're willing to follow. Andrew Murray said, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that's wholly yielded unto him. Abraham believed God. It caused him to yield his life. Let me ask you something this morning. How many of you all are saved by the grace of God? And you know it. You're heaven bound with a hammer down. You can go back to the spot where you were born again and God changed your life. Let me ask you a question. Would not it be foolish to trust God with our soul, the most precious thing that you and I have? Would not it be foolish to trust God with our soul and not trust God with our life? Amen. Abraham trusted God, believed God, was a friend of God. Bruce Larson tells how he helped people struggling to surrender their lives to Christ. For many years, he said, I worked in New York City and counseled at my office any number of people who were wrestling with this yes or no decision.
Often I would suggest that they walk with me from my office down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. In the entrance of that building is a gigantic statue of Atlas, a beautifully proportioned man who, with all of his muscles straining, is holding the world upon his shoulders. There he is, the most powerfully built man in the world, and he can barely stand up under the burden. Now that's one way to live, I would point out to my companion, trying to carry the world on your shoulders. But now come across the street with me. On the other side of Fifth Avenue is St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there, behind the high altar, is a little shrine of a little boy, Jesus, perhaps 8 or 9 years old. And with no effort, he's holding the world in one hand. He said my point was illustrated graphically. We have a choice. We can carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, I give up, Lord. Here's my life. I give you my world, the whole world. And he will carry us in the palm of his hand. Amen. I believe Abraham right here in verse number 1 is saying, God, I'm yours. Here I am. Abraham is not just saying, God, I'm yours, but what I have and what you've blessed me with is yours as well. Look at verse number 2. The Bible said, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and over him, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham not only loved God, but the Bible said that Abraham loved his son, Isaac. I want to say something this morning. I think it's important. The first mention of love in the Bible is right there in that verse that I just read to you. A father's love for his son. Normally the word of God, is it's being taught, they tell you to pay attention to the first mention of something, because that theme is going to be carried out all the way through the Bible. Beloved, God is not just trying to help Abraham in this text, and not just trying to help Isaac in this text, but he is trying to help every generation down through time in this very text to see that it pays to believe God, and that God will bless those that believe God. It's the first mention of love. I appreciate so very much that we have a Father in heaven that loved his son. I never saw this before. Yesterday, my mind runs a little bit, and I saw the first mention of love, and I said, I wonder what the second mention of love is in the Bible. Turn with me, if you will, over just a couple of pages to the book of Genesis, chapter 24 and verse number 67. I hope this will do somewhat for you what it did for me. My, did it bless my heart. Abraham loved God, but Abraham loved his son. The first mention is verse 2. Thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. The second mention of love in the word of God, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. How many understands that Isaac in this scripture is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? Brother Lance, it blessed my heart to know not only does the Father love the Son, but hallelujah, the Son has a bride that he loves and that he was willing to give himself for, to purchase. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Abraham is loving in chapter 22. He loves God. He loves his son. The third thing I want to give you this morning is he loved the truth. You say, preacher, I don't know where you got that. Well, turn with me, if you will, there to verse number 3, and let's begin reading there. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for a burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, I don't know if I've ever seen this before, but Abraham loved the truth. Turn your Bibles, if you will, please, over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Let me show you what I mean. The third day. How many knows what happened on the third day? Look at Hebrews chapter number 11 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll begin reading in verse number 17, down through verse number 19. The word of God said, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Isaac was the son of promise, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Watch this now. Look at verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. God had never married these two passages in my heart until this week. I'm telling you, for 3 days now, in the eyes of Abraham, Isaac is as good as dead. And Abraham is trusting God to the point where the knife falls, the blood comes out, the boy gives up his life, but God is God, and God made me a promise, and God said right there's the seed that's going to populate the earth like the stars of the sky and the sand by the seashore. And he's going to trust God to raise him up. Abraham loved the truth. People that are preaching a gospel that goes around the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ do not love the truth. And they do not love the people that they're talking to. This Bible preaches and teaches that you must be born again. There's no sacrifice other than the blood of Jesus that will take away our sin. Abraham loved the truth that God would raise up his son. This blesses my heart. It is said that Cyrus, the founder of the Persian Empire, listen to this. He once captured a prince and his family. And when they came before him, the monarch asked the prisoner, what will you give me if I release you? He said, I'll give you the half of my wealth. He said, and if I release your children? He said, everything I possess. He said, and if I release your wife? He said, Your Majesty, I will give you myself. Cyrus was so moved by his devotion that he freed them all. As they returned home, the prince said to his wife, wasn't Cyrus a handsome man with a look of deep love for her husband? She said to him, I didn't notice. I could only keep my eyes on you, the one who was willing to give himself for me. I'll tell you the secret, beloved, is to get our eyes on Jesus, the one who was willing to give his life. Abraham believed God. It was reflected in his leaving Ur of the Chaldees and his family and is leaning on God and building the altars and is looking to God in the choices of life. But it's reflected in his loving his God, loving his Son, and loving the truth. I believe with all of my heart this morning that whatever God is dealing with us about as his children, whether it's a deeper devotional life, a deeper prayer life, maybe he's dealing with us about baptism or church membership, maybe he's dealing with someone this morning about being saved, trusting him and him alone, his death, his burial, his resurrection. I believe these words in verse number 1, behold, here I am. These words in verse number 11, here am I. God said to Isaiah, I believe it was Isaiah chapter 6, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah, having seen the Lord high and lifted up, he said, hereby, send me. Isaiah, having realized that the problems were not all in Israel, but he had some problems himself, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Who wants to be a friend of God? Who wants to be a friend of God? I think sometimes as a pastor, when I preach and I try to encourage people, whether it's in their giving or in their living, I think sometimes our motive is questioned. And I guess that's okay. I know my motive. I want you to get to the end of your life and hear the God of Abraham say, well done. Well done. I think a pastor looks at his people like a father does his children, like a shepherd does his sheep. And what father, Brother Thurman, wouldn't want to hear God say to his son, well done, son. Well done. What shepherd would not want to see his sheep stay in the fold? Stay on the path. Don't want to see the sheep tangled up in the thorns. We don't want to see them down over the cliff. We want to see them following the shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. I tell you, Abraham believed God. I want to live my life with God's help and come to the end of the way. Not with who wants to be a millionaire, but who wants to be a friend of God. I believe with all of my heart when you come down through this text and Abraham has offered his son Isaac, the angel of the Lord said, now I know that thou fearest God, because thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. I'm going to make a statement and I'm done. I didn't even plan on this. I believe this is, the picture is painted in the widow's mite. I believe we could get a better judge of where we are on being a friend of God, not by what we have surrendered, but by what we are withholding. What are we withholding? What is it that God has spoke to our heart about? One man said it was like if your life is divided into rooms, and in this room, as far as the Lord is concerned, there's a welcome sign. In this room, there's a welcome sign. Let's just say there's 50 rooms and 49 of them have a welcome sign. But if there's one room in our life that has a do not disturb sign on it when it comes to the Savior, then we'll never know the joy that Abraham knew, that Isaac knew. Have you ever wondered about their conversation coming down off of that mountain? I don't know if Abraham was a southerner or not, but I believe if he was, he'd have looked over and said, "Son, ain't God good?" We can trust him, can't we, son? Son, don't ever forget this day. And I'll tell you, there have been some times in my Christian journey I had to go back to that day when I stepped out by faith and trusted Jesus as my Savior so that I could get a little reminder. You trusted him that day. You can trust him today. Abraham believed God. Amen. What do you need? What do you need? Who are you praying for that needs to be saved? What do you need that only God can provide? Will you believe God? Is there an area you need to surrender in? Will you believe God? God has his best in mind for his children. Let's pray together.